Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper celebration, the faithful Savior. And this will come in two parts. There was so much to say that I ran out of room to say all that needs to be said about the faithful Savior. So today, just as we do on the second Sunday of every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a remembrance meal. We eat by breaking bread. We drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross, one of the most significant events in divine history. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, at the Lord's Supper celebrations, we remember the Lord's death at the cross to pay for the sin of all mankind, the sin of being in Adam. And we also remember with great exaltation that he rose from the dead 3 days later. That's the thing that separated him from all the pretender gods. And we know that the victorious Lord Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of his Father, at his throne, waiting for the moment when God the Father will make the Lord's enemies a footstool for his feet. So we begin this Lord's Supper celebration with a question for reflection. Are you faithful in your relationships? Are you faithful in your relationships? In the first lesson today, we kind of took a look at how we ought to love in relationships. And we asked ourselves the question, do you love your relationships? Well, this time we're asking ourselves, are you faithful in your relationships? And what we're going to examine is the faithful Savior and how he's faithful. Because when you ask yourself that question, are you faithful in relationships? You may want to answer yes, that you are faithful in relationships, but if you're being honest, you'd have to say upon reflection that sometimes you're faithful in relationships and sometimes you're not. And that faithfulness isn't just a physical act. It's mental, it's verbal, and as well as a physical act. Now, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe and the one whom we celebrate today, is always faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "If we believers in Christ are faithless, and we often are, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Yes, God is faithful to us even when we are faithless. Why? Well, among other reasons, because at the moment of salvation, we gain his absolute righteousness. We're placed into union with him, and so we become one with him. And he would never turn his back on himself in us. Do you offer your relationships the same faithfulness? You may want the answer to be yes, but if you're being honest, you'd have to say upon reflection, I like my relationships a lot when they please me, and I don't like them at all when they don't. Now, in other words, you aren't faithful at all in your relationships. You may see that as condemnation, but I don't. I see it as a fact. And it's something we can change if we want to. The other members of the Godhead, though, are always faithful. Our God and Father, who began a good work in the creation of us, will always be faithful to us, even after he finishes the job with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this, "For those whom God the Father foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son." The Lord has, our God and Father has us on a path. And that path will end in us being conformed to the image of his Son. Our God, the Holy Spirit, the mentor and teacher of your sanctification, who guides us into all the truth, is always faithful to you as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 say this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, set you apart entirely for a set of privileges. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he who calls you to salvation, and the Lord also will bring your salvation and your deliverance to pass." So I ask you, are you faithful in your relationships? Today, we welcome you to a place where you can celebrate a God who is always faithful in relationships, a God you can always count on, a God who is faithful to you even when you're not faithful to him. And as we look back to the cross in our Lord's Supper celebration, we stand in unity and we praise the faithful Savior. Well, as we prepare our souls for worship, let's enjoy June Murphy singing one of the songs she has written and produced. And not so oddly enough, it's called God is Faithful.
We were saved by grace alone, by faith alone in Christ. We could never save ourselves, Jesus paid the price. No matter what today may bring, no matter what may come, we know God is always there, He's a faithful one. God is faithful, no matter what we do, faithful, tried and true. God is faithful even when we're not. Our God is faithful no matter what you say. Faithful took our sins away. Faithful, faithful, He is faithful. Facing God is hot. Even when you make mistakes, God never turns away. So don't feel sorry for yourself when failing to obey. Even when we say one thing, do something else instead, God is always faithful. He won't turn His head. God is faithful no matter what we do. Faithful, He's tried and true. God is faithful even when we're not. Our God is faithful no matter what you say. Faithful took our sins away. Faithful, faithful, He is faithful. Facing God is hot. This is a trustworthy statement. If you died with Him you'll also live. If you endure, you reign with Him. If you deny Him, He'll give again. Believers, when you're not true, God will stick right by you. For He cannot deny Himself. He gives so you can live. Faithful, no matter what we do, faithful, He's tried and true. God is faithful, even when we're not. Our God is faithful, no matter what you say. Faithful, took our sins away. Faithful, faithful, He is faithful. They said, He's all that in a bag of chips. Pay attention, listen to this. He should be your BFF. More faithful than all the rest, huh? He's the one that set us free. He's the sovereign God. Are you feeling me? God is faithful. He's faithful. Our God is faithful.
Are you sure? Yeah. I'm sure. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying Your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank You, Father, for being faithful. You are a God that we can take at Your word. We know that what You promise, You are also able to perform. We know that You always come through for us. Show us how to love the same way, faithfully. Show us how to love You, especially without holding back. Teach us to be faithful to Your word. Help us to make the best decisions at the point of pressure. Free us from the guilt inspired by our imperfection. Remind us of who we are in union with Your Son. Heal our relationships and inspire us to treat relationships like You do, faithfully. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper celebration, and it is about the faithful Savior, and we begin by giving you a moment to make an offering. It's a chance for you to support this ministry in providing the Word of God both to you and to those who are positive to the Word of God all over the world through the internet. And we appreciate the faithfulness of your contributions. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. The last time we met, Pastor brought up a saying that kind of made me cringe a little bit. He said, "Hail to the victors." And I thought, how can a Northwestern grad say a Michigan statement in a room full of Hawkeyes? But then I remembered 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. So I remembered that this was a divinely inspired lesson, so I should definitely be listening. And I thought, you know, it's always good to have a different angle on something. It's always good to learn something one way, but to also learn it another way. For instance, when I'm making lunch for my son, I don't give him options. I just start making a grilled cheese. Even though he might have had a grilled cheese for the last meal, I don't care. That's what I'm making. That's what was the easiest. Whereas my wife, Emily, will give him many options. Do you want a grilled cheese? Do you want a quesadilla? Would you like some pizza? What do you want? A ham sandwich? She'll give him a lot of options. And at first, you know, I'm thinking, you don't need to give him options. Just give him what he wants. But the point is, having these two different perspectives is good. For instance, when we take him swimming, I'm holding on to him tight as I can hold, whereas she's been doing swim school with him. So she'll just throw him right in the pool and let him flop around, and I think he's going to drown. I'm freaking out, but she's seen him swim. So the two different perspectives are great, and that's what's great about a ministry, is having all these different perspectives coming together in unity. I don't remember the person that said the quote, but the quote was, "The optimist created the airplane, but the pessimist created the parachute." So you see, both people are very good to have, the optimist and the pessimist, because they create different things that the other would never think about. And that's why I really think it's great to have a nice, wide range of people that are in our church and that have given to this church, and really, truly appreciate the people that have spent their time, their talent, and their time, talent, and treasure on this church, because without all those things, we'd be very one-dimensional. We wouldn't be an advanced church like we are. We have an app. We have a very, very cool website that's about ready to post. It's very user-friendly. You can work it on your phone just as easily as an app. And so it's amazing, and it's nice to have people that are really supporting. We're on the radio. I know a lot of people don't listen to the radio, but that's grabbing a whole other group of people that maybe aren't listening on the web or aren't using the app. So we truly appreciate all that you give, and this is really a time for you to show is to worship by giving, and it's a great opportunity for you as well. So thank you very much.
Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper celebration, the faithful Savior. Well, Deacon Denny, I'll have you know that I was very much like you when I was teaching my kids how to swim. I had Zachary clutched to my breast, and I jumped in the pool, and I slipped when my foot hit, and I took him under. I think that's why he hates me today. He's still traumatized by that event. So, Probably Emily's got the better philosophy on that. Just throw them in and let them go. And June, you'll be happy to know that, I am not happy to know, but you'll be happy to know that before we started doing these Facebook lessons with your songs, you know, we'd get a hit here and there, and, you know, people would listen to the messages. But now that with the song, you know, every time I go on Facebook, 80,000 people have touched your page, you know, so your songs are quite a hit around the world, especially in Pakistan, just so you, just so you should know. So if you ever wander through Pakistan and start singing and you get mobbed, you'll know what it is. All right, so the Lord's Supper celebration, the faithful Savior. Today's subject is relationships, mainly because relationships have been heavy on my heart lately. And in the first lesson, a bit of commentary on how we ought to love in relationships. In this lesson, a bit of reflection on and a bit of enjoyment of how God loves us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful Savior. He loves us unconditionally and faithfully. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 12, one of Paul's epistles to pastors, Paul reminds Timothy, whom he is grooming as a pastor, about our faithful Savior. He says this, 2 Timothy 2:8, "Remember to preach Jesus Christ as risen from the dead, as a descendant of David, according to my gospel," 2 Timothy 2:9, "for which gospel I suffer hardship, even a hardship up to imprisonment, as if I am a criminal," the Greek there says, "as a doer of evil. But the word of God is not imprisoned." 2 Timothy 2:10, "For this reason," the reason being the preaching of the gospel, "I endure all things for the sake of those who are the chosen out ones," that's all believers in Christ, "so that they also may obtain the salvation and the deliverance which is a result of being in union with Christ Jesus. And with this union, what follows is eternal glory." The Lord took us, rescued us from spiritual death, and delivers us to spiritual life. 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a trustworthy statement. "For if we believers in Christ died with him," and we did, "we will also live with him." That's one of the things we get to look forward to as believers in Christ, that we will live with him for all eternity. 2 Timothy 2:11, "If we endure suffering as believers in Christ," and of course we do, "we will also reign with him during his millennial reign." That will be a great pleasure, that we will be back on the earth for 1,000 years reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. "If we deny him," and some do by rejecting a relationship with him, "he will also deny us." Once we are believers in Christ, we move from suffering to glorification. Unbelievers, on the other hand, are facing a horrible fate, God the Father's wrath, for continuing in unbelief. Let's take a brief trip to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Here's what it says. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven." And what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that you believe in the person of the Son for salvation. That's how simple it is to get to heaven. Matthew 7, 22. "Many will say to me on that day," and the day that's being referred to here is the day of the great white throne judgment, the day of judgment of unbelievers. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name, didn't we cast out demons? And in your name, didn't we perform many miracles?'" There are many unbelievers who are great at doing tasks and who are thinking that their works will get them to heaven. Works do not get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. And what is the Lord's response to that on the great day of the great white throne judgment? Matthew 7, 23, "And then I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will declare to them, 'I never knew you.' I wasn't in relationship with you," in other words. "So depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Who are the ones who practice lawlessness? Unbelievers are the ones who practice lawlessness. They have a lifestyle of lawlessness. They don't have a relationship with the Lord. They don't know him, and he doesn't know them. Finishing up in 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 13, it says, "If we believers in Christ are faithless," and we are, "he is faithful, for he cannot deny himself." we are lucky as believers in Christ. The Lord will never deny those whom he is in union with. And at the moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit places us into union with Christ. And we cannot get out of that unbreakable union. All believers in Christ are in union with the faithful Savior. So let's take a few moments to enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper. And then we'll look at what it means to be faithful and how God extends his faithfulness to us. So as we enjoy the elements, we remember this. Following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, which was the voluntary sacrifice that he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is being broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. So when we eat the bread of the Lord's Supper celebration, we are remembering the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the person that you believe in for your salvation. And then when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically in this case, the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. 1 Corinthians 11, 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, let's keep on giving thanks that we are loved unconditionally and accepted fully by the faithful Savior. And let's enjoy his love day by day and listen as we celebrate the Lord's Supper song. let's take a break and listen to our break song, a song about unity. Yes, we all agree.
Do you agree that he's holy? Yes, we all agree. Do you agree that
blood, we've been set free.
Yes, we are.
Lord's Supper celebration, we celebrate our faithful Savior. When we look back to the cross, we see the faithful Savior. What does it mean to be faithful? Being faithful means to stick with someone through thick and thin, to never betray someone. We have a no matter what Savior. He is on our side no matter what. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we believers in Christ are faithless than we are, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's one of the things that is absolutely beautiful about God, is that once he commits to you, he's committed. That's amazing. And I'm wondering, are you like that in relationships? When you commit to somebody, are you committed? Or do you waffle? What does it mean to be faithful? Faithful means to always give people a way out of a jam. There are going to be a lot of times when people get in a jam with you. They're going to hurt you, and they'll need a way out. They'll be absolutely guilty, and they'll need a way out. Well, God, the faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, always gives us a way out. He always rescues us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man, the human kind of temptation. And God is faithful, who won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. Now, this verse is misinterpreted quite often is God will never give you anything you can't handle. That's totally false. God gives us a lot of things that we have absolutely no ability to handle, but the good news is that he's willing to handle those things for us. This is talking specifically about temptation. Our trials are the same ones that all people face. You know, we like to think when we're in the midst of a trial that we're the only ones who have ever experienced this ever, and that this is so big that nobody could ever possibly understand what we're going through. And that just isn't the case. As a matter of fact, for those of us in the United States, the stuff that we go through is mild compared to what our brethren all around the world are facing. We are not unique. We certainly are not original, yet God always gives us a way out of every dilemma. Are you like that in your relationships? Do you let the other person off the hook? Do you let them out? Do you give them the way of escape when they've wronged you? What does it mean to be faithful? To be faithful means to accomplish what you set out to do with someone. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the faithful Savior, keeps his word. He will do all that he has said he will do. And by the way, he is also able to do all he says he will do. He keeps his promises. Our faithful God never lies. Our faithful God never changes. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He doesn't change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Rhetorical question. If he says it, won't he do it? Yes. Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? When he speaks promises, won't he keep them? Yes. Absolutely yes. God keeps his word. Are you like that in relationship? And I mean about everything. I mean the little things, too. You say you're going to be ready at 7:30, and you don't get ready till 8. Can I get an amen on people who like saying 7:30 and get ready at 8? Can I say an amen? All right, so keeping your word is integrity, and that's really important. And don't think that, oh, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Every time you break your integrity, it's a big deal. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to protect you from all forms of harm, even in circumstances where you want to harm yourself. You know, we do more harm to ourselves than others ever do to us. Mentally, emotionally, we torment ourselves. But God is always there for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 says this, finally, brethren, believers in Christ, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2. And that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have a God who is faithful enough in character to give us confidence as Christians. He is always on guard for us. He is always on that wall saying, nothing's going to hurt you tonight, not on my watch. Are you like that with your relationships? Do you protect your relationships? And I was thinking about protection this morning as I was getting ready. You know, protection's always the first thing we think about in anything. We get a car, and what's the first thing we do? We call the insurance company to get insurance, protection. We get a house, what's the first thing we do? We call the insurance company to get homeowners. And by the way, we do that because the bank says, yeah, I'm not giving you the money. I ain't even thinking about giving you a check unless you get some homeowners. And if you live in the floodplain, you got to get flood insurance. Amen? Amen? Y'all must not live in the floodplain. I live in the floodplain. Well, what does it mean to be faithful? When someone is faithful, they're always on your side. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 say this, God the Father is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I exhort you, brethren, believers in Christ, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Yes, we all agree. That was our song on the music break. You know, that's the funny thing about Christians. I don't get it why Christians disagree. There's only one truth. Why don't we all see it the same way? And I contend that Satan encourages us not to see it the same way. He encourages division. And I think our ego ties really well into what Satan wants to do. As Christians, we must always mend our divisions and not let ourselves be used by the kingdom of death to turn our sanctuary of unity into a hellhole. Are you like this in relationships? Do you protect your sanctuary or do you profane it? What does it mean to be faithful? Faithful. Someone who is willing to stand up for you when you're in trouble. Someone who's willing to stand up for you in trouble. And I know that there is a lot of chaos in the world right now, especially in the United States, in the matter of the relationship between the police and citizens. And I admire police officers for protecting us from our enemies from within. And I admire the military for protecting us from our enemies without. And I don't understand why people think that they could pull a gun on a policeman and expect that they wouldn't get shot. I don't get that. If you treat police officers with respect, they will treat you with respect. And they'll go overboard in that respect. And of course, there are always 1% in anything who are the bad apples. But I will not personally allow myself to be jaundiced and tainted by the 1%. Because most police officers are amazing people. And the fact that they put their lives on the line for us like they do, and then they have to go home and they can't turn off that defensiveness that they feel, is brutal for them. What's going on with us as people? And I'm not making a political statement here. I'm talking about what we talk about as Christians. We respect the people who stand up for us when we're in trouble. We respect the people who allow us to sleep like babies at night. Because I have friends in China who have just concluded a church service. And they're worried that they might not get home alive because the government doesn't like Christians. We don't have those problems. One of the major themes that we celebrate when we look back to the cross is that there was someone to stand up for us when we were in trouble. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Says this, the Lord, this is a reference to God the Father, was pleased to crush him being Jesus Christ, putting him to grief. And if Jesus would render himself as a guilt offering, which he did, Jesus Christ will see his many offsprings, his many believers in Christ. And God the Father will prolong his days for all eternity. And the good pleasure of the Lord, that's God the Father, will prosper Jesus, will prosper his hand. This is what we celebrate on the day of the Lord's Supper celebration. We celebrate the faithful Savior who was humiliated for us by taking on the form of a human being, who shed blood for us at a cross, but who died and rose again to prove to us that he is who he said he is. He is the only God of the universe so that we could be saved. The truth about us as humans is that when we have a person who is faithful in our lives, we consider them boring. We take them for granted. And we have a choice instead to imitate our Savior through the power of God, the Holy Spirit in us. And we can be faithful to those with whom we are in relationship. Relationship is not a word to be taken lightly. What is a relationship? It is a connection that you decide on, which becomes a possession of yours, to be treasured and cared for and nurtured. So I ask you, are you faithful in your relationships? Do you consider them to be sacred? Do you consider them to be treasured? Do you consider them as something to be cared for? Do you consider them as something to be nurtured? There is much to say about being faithful. And there is much more to say about the faithful Savior. So we'll continue this strand of thought in our next Lord's Supper celebration. But for now, just take a few moments this week to review what you've learned about faithfulness and compare it to how you treat the relationships that you hold dear. Are you faithful? And if you see the need for adjustment, don't beat yourself up. Just make the adjustment. Just imitate the faithful Savior. We dedicate the closing moments of our Bible study today to anyone who has not made a decision to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 22:42 says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? What do you think about the Messiah?" Well, there are many things to think about the Messiah. Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through that gate. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." What does that mean exactly? John 10:9. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the narrow way. And if anyone enters through me," maybe you will and maybe you won't, you have a choice. "If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and then he will go in and out and find pasture." And two of my favorite verses in the Bible, Luke 23:42-43, Jesus, the repentant thief, who was hanging on a cross next to Jesus and being crucified, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," a 9-word request for salvation. And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And so there is your opportunity, if you have not made a decision for Christ, to know how simple it is to get to heaven and to spend all eternity with Christ. It's simply believe. With nothing else added. It's that simple. Closing song today, June Murphy, Redeemer.
Who taught the sun where to stay? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Redeemer lives. all of creation testifies, and this life within me cries, and I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit, oh, he runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they
Almighty God and Father, we thank you for sending us your Son to be our Redeemer, to be our Savior, to be the faithful one who teaches us exactly how to live our lives. And we pray that all who are at the other end of this message embrace the life that you inspire through your word and imitate the life that Christ lived when he came here. We pray that you protect our steps as we go out into the world, Father, and that you keep us on the narrow way, completely dependent on you and your guiding, mentoring spirit. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.